Father, this morning we gather probably a little bit of anticipation in our hearts over what's coming in the next couple of days. And God, how easily that can be a distraction for us as we're making last-minute preparations for this weather that we're facing, God. But my prayer this morning, God, is just that you would clear our minds and just push all that away for a minute. God, that we could focus solely on you and worship you, not only singing songs, but worshiping you through our listening. That we could worship in spirit and in truth by responding to your truth, Father. And I pray you would bury your truth in our hearts and our minds. God, that you would convince us this morning and you would confirm to us this morning what you say. God, as we come into this room, God, we're family and we're the church. We're the redeemed. We're the ones you rescued, God, when there's really no need to rescue us. We aren't worth rescuing, and yet you saw something in us. You wanted us. God, I'm so thankful. I'm so grateful for that, God. God, if we're honest with ourselves, we know ourselves, and we know that we tend to wander. We tend to stray. We tend to think that we've got it. We don't need help. God, as we started a series last week, the first thing we realize is that we do. That you spoke to us through your Son, just speaking truth into our lives and giving us hope and encouragement, proving himself that he is the Son, the risen Christ, and that we can count on him. This morning, as we continue to listen, as we continue to just dive into John chapter 16, Father, my prayer is that we continue to absorb your truth and continue to add to it, Father, and respond to it, God, and just to recognize, to go ahead and admit, God, that we don't have it all together and that you sent us help for a reason. And God, that you've given us the ability to tap into that. We never have to walk alone. We never have to make all of our own decisions and tough it out and figure it out as we go, God, that you have given us your Spirit. That portion of yourself, God, that teaches us and guides us and challenges us and pushes us and gifts us. God, if we're going to go deeper this year, we have to respond. We have to respond or we're going to be the same this time next year. That's not what you have for us. So, God, can we just throw caution to the wind this morning? Can we just listen with reckless abandon and just absorb the truth that you have for us this morning and walk out of here free? Yeah, God, your word says it is for freedom that you made us free, that you set us free. And God, to not walk in that is just, it's self-abuse. God, it doesn't make sense. Teach us to walk in freedom. Teach us to trust you. Teach us to accept the fact that even though we can't see around every corner, you can, and that's enough. And help us walk your ways, God. Help us to entrust ourselves to Jesus, because we have nothing to lose and everything to gain. Speak through me this morning, Father. Be my words. I ask it in Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Good morning. It's good to see you on this very cold day. And I thank you this morning that I see a number of you have turned in your 2021 card. If you did not get a 2021 card, they are back there on the prayer table on your way out, as right there on the right, and you're welcome to either get up now and go get one or get one on the way out, but they're still being turned in. I want you to continue to turn those in. Please put your name on the front of those, and let this be a challenge to you, and then we will see where we are a year from now when I give those cards back to you. Did you walk the way that you desired to walk? Are you the same as you were this time last year? The story goes on, and you will get those cards back and see where you are. Have you progressed? And maybe you'll see why as well. But we'll also reach out to you if we see a need for you to be reached out to, and we will encourage you, and we will push you a little bit, walk with you, partner you up if you need to be partnered, and we will continue to grow in our faith this year. That's the challenge. The challenge is to go deeper. We want this to be a year where you go deeper. Don't do the same thing you did last year. whatever that was and however great that was, go deeper. Amen? Just a little bit more. Push a little bit more. Walk by faith a little bit more. Trust a little bit more. Cross one more threshold and see what God wants to do with you. We are in a series right now called Knock Knock. Who's there? And the answer to that question is, I don't know. We don't know what's on the other side of church today, do we? We don't know what's on the other side of 14 degrees Monday morning, do we? We don't know what our jobs hold on Monday. Maybe it's a pink slip. Maybe it's a promotion. Maybe somebody got the promotion you thought you were getting. How will you respond? It will be a reflection of who you are in Christ and whether or not you trust God, because He always has the best for you and for I. That's just the reality. The reason that we don't experience that a lot of times is because we don't trust Him. Amen? The minute it doesn't look the way we think it should look, we freak out. How many of you say, I'm guilty? The rest of your line. The minute it doesn't turn out the way we want to turn out, we get mad. Who's that one? Right? Sometimes I gotta keep my hand up a little bit on that. The minute it doesn't turn out the way we want it to turn out, we get in the way and we start controlling it. How's that working out for you? Now you got two messes to clean up. Because you can't fix you. You know why? You're a sinner. Don't worry, I am too. Why would a sinner try to fix a sinner when a Savior who has no sin has already died for our sin? Amen? Wow. I mean, if we just trust Him. I mean, we already know we can't trust us. Why do we keep doing it? What is that saying? When you do the same thing over and over and over and you expect different results, that's what? Insanity. How many of us are insane? Apparently all of us. But we're okay with it. I mean, I guess we're okay with it because we keep doing it. I'm just saying, just talking out loud. Hey, this is us, amen? This is who we are. If you remember last week, we were in John 16, and we'll be there again today. And in John chapter 16, you remember that Jesus told His disciples something they needed to hear. Number one, for comfort, and number two, just to prove He's the Savior one more time. And so He tells them something, and then He says, so that you will know. I'm telling you now, so you'll know when it happens, that I am who I said I am, and I can see your whole life, right? He said, I'm telling you this so you will know. And then what He told them they would know wasn't good news. John 16 doesn't end with a hurrah or a football team going out and slapping the mascot on the wall on their way out. It was solemn words. So you'll know they're going to kick you out of the synagogue, which was the most shameful thing that could happen to you in that day and time. See, we get kicked out of the church, whatever that means today. Like you can get kicked out of the, I mean, I guess you get kicked out of a church building. You know, you can't get kicked out of the church, right? Because we are the church. But we do that and we just go, fine, I'll just blog something hateful about that church, right? But in that day and time, if you got kicked out of the church, you probably disappeared to another community because it was shameful to be kicked out of the church. He said, let me tell you now so you'll know, if you follow me, this is what's going to happen to you. You're going to get kicked out of the church. The synagogue. Not only that, but when they kill you, they'll think they're doing God a favor. And that's a foretelling of the next guy that does it. It's Saul. Saul is giving approval of Stephen's death. And I told you last week, the very first Christian martyr, well, aside from Stephen, but the first Christian martyr, the average Joe, was roasted to death. Slowly. I think we got it pretty good. I think we're going to be all right. Why don't we follow Him? Does it take that kind of persecution to make us follow Him? I hope not. Jesus is knocking on their door and He's saying, I need to tell you something because I want you to be prepared. It's funny. We want to be prepared for life, right? But what do we do to make that happen? I mean, it seems like we do all the physical stuff. It seems like we do all the mental stuff, the emotional stuff, but we don't do the spiritual stuff. We just think I'm saved and I'm satisfied and surely God will take care of me all of my days. Or maybe we just think that now that I'm saved, nothing bad will ever happen to me again. Neither one of those things are reasonable thinking, but we don't take care of ourselves spiritually just the same. We mean to, we want to. I know I should read my Bible. I'm going to pick it up tomorrow. I really am. And then, oh yeah, that game's on. Or, oh yeah, we're invited to And we just, good intentions won't grow you and I, will it? They'll never grow us. Something's coming on the other side of the sunrise, on the other side of the doctor's visit. Something's coming, and sometimes those things aren't expected. Life's not fair, amen? But how we respond to life as a Christ follower will make the difference not only in our lives, but other people's lives when it doesn't make sense to them. And isn't that part of the goal? I mean, isn't that why we're here? I mean, that's the kickstart to discipleship. When somebody looks at you and goes, how do you do that? They just invited you into their life, whether they know it or not. And now you can walk with them and begin to teach them who God is. When I think about something being on the other side of the door, I kind of think of creepy movies sometimes, right? What lies beneath. You know, don't go to the lakeside, right? And what do? And then it grabs us, right? What's under the bed, right? All these movies. And it's the same with life. Like, life is going to happen to you. There is something underneath. There is something behind. There is something around the corner. And we just, da-da-da-da, right? Sometimes just going through life thinking, well, that doesn't happen to me. That's a teenager mentality. It always happens to somebody else, but it doesn't happen to me. We, so many times as Christians, we act like teenagers. Jesus is meeting with his disciples for the last time. It's the last good moment. There's something on the other side of this meeting. It's called arrest, crucifixion, death, burial, all of that. That's what's coming on the other side of this meeting. And so in chapters 13, 14, 15, and 16, Jesus is talking to them and preparing them, telling them the Holy Spirit is coming and these people are going to hate you because you follow me. He's preparing them so that they will know. He's giving them hope. Turn, if you will, to John 16. John 16, John is the fourth book in your New Testament. And in John chapter 16, he is telling them life's not going to get better and you can't do it alone. Life's not going to get easier and you can't do it alone. He doesn't send them out with a cheer at the end. It's very solemn. You need to know this information, and that is what? We need help. We need help. And here's the deal. The sooner we let go, the sooner God will move in your life. Amen? That's why Philippians 1:6, which is one of my favorite verses in the Bible, says that he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. But you got to make room for him, like we talked about in December. If you don't make room, the gentleman God that you and I serve will wait patiently while we just keep messing up our lives. But Philippians 1:6 makes a promise to us that he who began that good work in you will be faithful to complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. We're not invincible. Has anybody felt like you have a moment of invincibility if you think about it for a minute? Like you accomplish one thing and you're like, oh, right? Like I did 20 burpees today at the gym. I'm invincible. Or that song, that rock song that I listen to when I work out, all of a sudden I'm all pumped up and I'm all emotional and I had a really great workout and I'm invincible. I won an argument. I'm invincible. Right? I finally got $10,000, $20,000, $100,000 in my bank account, $1 million in my bank account. Now I'm invincible until the stock market crashes. What we do on our own a lot of times doesn't have a whole lot of value. I lost 20 pounds. I'm invincible. You're healthier, but you're still mortal. Amen? That's just the reality. Life's going to knock on your door and remind you of your mortality. It's going to remind you that you are terminal. Every one of us are terminal. And in our childish thoughts sometimes, a lot of times, let's say most of the time, we don't think it's tomorrow, right? Or next year. I mean, I'm only 56. I'm only 24. We don't know. We have no idea. What we do know is that we need help. And so in John chapter 16, Jesus has introduced this statement to them about telling them why he's told them what he has to say. And then this is what he says, picking up in verse 5. He says, now I'm going to him. Now I'm going to him who sent me. But none of you ask, where are you going? Because I have said these things, you're filled with grief. Like, the only thing you're thinking about is that you're sad because I'm leaving. You've been with me every single day for 3 years. I mean, you get up in the morning, let's go see what Jesus is doing. Let's see what miracles Jesus performs today. Let's see what advice we get from Jesus. Let's see how Jesus operates. Hey, let's go check out how when he rebukes the Pharisees and we'll laugh quietly on the inside. Right? Dependency on Jesus, watching Jesus. He says, I tell you, I'm going away, and all you can see is grief. But then he goes on, and he says, but I tell you the truth, it's for your good that I'm going away. If you have the NLT, it actually says it's for your best. It's, in fact, it's the best thing for you. But a lot of times we don't think that way. It's good that I'm going away, because unless I go, the counselor, capital C, the counselor, will not come to you. But if I go, I'll send him to you. So what is Jesus saying to them? He's saying, listen, something's going to happen that's going to be really cool. You're not going to have to get up in the morning and go find me anymore. You're not going to have to try to figure out what to do when you're not standing beside me. I can only be one place at a time. So what I want to do is I'm going to go trade places. I'm going to go and sit at the right hand of the Father, which only the righteous can do. And I'm going to send my spirit, and instead of you looking for someone to walk beside you, he will be in you. Instead of it being 33 years, it will be for the rest of your life. That's good news. He says, but you're so busy grieving, you're not listening. The Holy Spirit is there for a reason. Do we take advantage of the Holy Spirit? God in you. Think about it, like if you break down. You break down, you know, how many of you don't, your gas gauge doesn't work, or you just don't pay attention to it? That's a couple of honest people. Macy's like one, you know. And then you run out of gas, and the gas station is just right there. You thought, well, this time I can make it. It's just right there. And so Chase has to get out of the car. Macy, stay here. I'm going to walk to the gas station. I'm going to buy a gas can. I'm going to fill it with gas. I'm bringing fuel back. And she doesn't want to. You're going to leave me alone in the car? But it's for your good that I go. Because when I come back, I'm going to have fuel. And then we're going to be able to go where we really need to go. I think about these people that come in to the United States from Mexico or Honduras or Guatemala. And the reason they come in is because they want to work so that they can send money home to their families. Because where they're living, they can't make a living. They're starving to death. There's no benefits. There's nothing. And so they say, listen, I'm going to go. And I know you don't want me to go. And I know you're going to grieve because I go. But it's for your good that I go. Because if I go, I can send a way for you to live back home to you. That's kind of what Jesus is saying. He's like, I get it that you don't want me to go. I get it that I'm super impressive. I get all that, right? But I'm going to send something that's better. Because I'm calling you to make disciples in all of the world. And when you get scattered, and you will get scattered, I can't be all those places. And if I disciple 12 and then ask you to disciple, I mean, at what point is there not enough of me? But if I send my spirit, you can disciple in a group or you can disciple all by yourself. And so it's good news. And so he's going to send his spirit. And it's a spirit that rather than you trying to control it, it's going to enable you. Do you remember when Nicodemus came to see Jesus? And he couldn't figure all the story out. Like, I mean, he came at night. It was like secret. He wanted it, but he didn't want anybody to know that he wanted it. And he was trying to figure out this whole eternal life thing and all that kind of stuff. That's found actually in John chapter 3, if you want to go there for a second, and then we'll go back. But in John chapter 3, Nicodemus comes to Jesus at night. And they're having this little conversation, and Jesus says, listen, you got to be born again. And Nicodemus is like, what do you mean I have to be born again? Like, I can't re-enter my mother's womb and then be born again. I'm a grown man. What are you talking about? And in John chapter 3, verse 8, as that conversation is taking place, Jesus says this. He says, the wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. So we've seen this just in the last 24 hours. The wind has been crazy. That's what cuts through you, right? So you can look outside the window and you can see the trees moving, but can you see the wind? You can go outside if you dare, and it'll cut you to the bone, but you can't see it. It blows wherever it wants to blow, and you can't figure out where it's coming from. You can't figure out where it's going, but it's wind, and it's powerful, and it's effective. And he tells Nicodemus, you're not going to have to come to me at night. Undercover, secret. You're not going to have to do that. If you're born again, the Spirit of God will answer all the questions you have. The Spirit of God will take care of you. Now, He'll send you places you don't think He'll send you, and He'll do things with you that you had no idea could be done with you. But the Holy Spirit's coming for a reason. He is your helper. And He says here in Scripture, He's your counselor, capital C, which is a good thing. Over in John 14, 16, he specifically calls us a counselor. Over in John 16, 13, He says He's our guide. He's our tour guide, right? He says, don't go down that road. Let's go this road. You're walking down the road. You're like, stop. You know, have you ever had a tour guide take you anywhere? Or maybe you've been on a hiking trail and somebody's taken you or where it may be, and they stop and they say, that snake's poisonous? And you thought it was a grass snake. And they're like, no. That's not a grass snake. That's not a chicken snake. That snake will kill you in 5 minutes. That's what a tour guide's for. The Holy Spirit does it. That thing's going to kill you. Don't do it. I know you think it's cool or neat, or I know you think you know what it is, but you don't know what it is. But I know what it is, so I'm telling you what it is. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit keeps us out of trouble and performs the will of God at the same time. Imagine that. Two things we can't do on our own. That's what the Holy Spirit does. In John 15, 26, He convicts us of sin. Isn't that crazy? I mean, before we didn't even know we were sinners. And all of a sudden, we hear the gospel of truth, and we realize we're a sinner. And we have to make a decision. And then after the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of you, guess what? You're going to get it all the time for the rest of your life. He's going to say, nope, don't do that. Don't go there. That's sin. He's going to convict you. And at first, you know, you'll probably do something, and then you'll get convicted. But the more you grow, the deeper you go, the more thresholds you cross, the more time you spend in God's Word, guess what happens? It's like as you're doing it, you're like, nope, right? Or before you do it, right? Eventually, you get it in the right order because the Holy Spirit is your counselor. He's your guide. He's your teacher. He's there to prevent you and me from making fools of ourselves. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, He's the gift giver. And that's for the church. It's not for you. It's for the church. And in Galatians chapter 5, He's the fruit producer in you. You can't produce any fruit. Jesus says in John 15, you can't produce fruit. Apart from me, you can do what? Nothing. But when the Holy Spirit is dwelling inside of you, you can live through surrender. The Bible calls Jesus all these different names with capital letters. Counselor, capital C, right? Advocate, capital A. It's not an adjective, it's an identity. It's a noun, it's an identity. And that's the difference, right? It's interesting that those words are neutral words. They're not he and she words, they're neutral words. Counselor. Okay? There's a counselor I send to people in our church to from time to time. Two different counselors. They're male. I really like them. But my daughter lives in Orlando, Florida, and she's a counselor. We don't say she's a counseloress, right? She's a counselor. He's a counselor. They're gender-neutral verbs. I hate to even use that terminology in the world we're now living in, but it's a reality. They are gender-neutral words. And yet every single time Jesus or one of the apostles talks about him, he always says he. I'm going to send you a counselor, and he will. You know why he does that? For you to know it's not an it, it's a person. That there's a personal relationship. Your personal relationship isn't just with God. Your personal relationship isn't just with Jesus. You have a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. I mean, my goodness, he's living in you. He's talking to you, guiding you, teaching you, telling you yes, telling you no, all those different things. He is a person. You get a person. I mean, think about it for a minute. And not just any person. You get the person of God. How can you go wrong? It doesn't make any sense. You cannot go wrong with the Holy Spirit. It's impossible. Turn, if you will, over to Ephesians chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 1, Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus, and this is what he says when it comes to Christians and being saved. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians is six books to your right. If you're new to the faith, you're in Ephesians. I mean, you're in John, you can go Acts, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, and then the book of Ephesians. Okay, and in Ephesians chapter 1, Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus, and he's talking to believers, obviously, and this is what he says to believers. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. And you, Christian, that's what he's saying, and you, Christian, when you were included in Christ, when you included in Christ, when you heard the word of truth, and did what? Believe. That's how you're included in Christ. Okay? That's the pathway to salvation right there. You hear the truth, you choose to respond to the truth. You believe the truth by faith, right? So he's talking to Christians about what they've done. He says, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, that's the key, you were marked in him with the seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit, who, it's not it, who, a person, only a person is a who. The Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. He's telling Christians, here's what happens. When the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of you, he marks you with a seal. And now you belong to Christ for all time. Back in the day, before electronics and, you know, do y'all know what a handwritten letter is? Does that even make sense to y'all? Right? People love to get them. I challenge you this week. Write somebody a letter. Write somebody a letter this week and tell them what they think, what they mean to you before they're gone. A handwritten letter is so important. But the king would write a letter out, right? Pen and ink, the quill, and right? And he'd write a letter, and he would give instructions. And then that thing would get rolled up, and they'd put a drop of wax on there, and the king's ring, his signet ring, the seal, would be pressed into the wax before the wax dried, and when he pulled it away, there's the seal of the king. So when that letter got to you, you knew who it was from, you knew the authority that was in there, you knew that seal protected the letter, and that whoever sent the letter protected you. It's marked with a seal. The Word of God tells us that when you come to Christ, he gives you this guaranteed deposit. It guarantees your inheritance. What is your inheritance? That you're redeemed and you're a child of God. And he does it with a seal. The seal cannot be broken except by the one who gets the letter, right? And we know exactly who it's from. You would never in that day take a letter that you received and if it had the king's mark, you just throw it in the garbage can or the fire. You'd never do that. I mean, that was death, right? When Jesus comes and he seals you to save you, don't throw that away. That's death. When you become a child of God, you are sealed until the day of redemption. Matter of fact, the Bible says that no one can snatch you out of his hand. So if you're sealed with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is the one that sealed you, and he is your counselor, your teacher, your guide, your comforter, your gift giver, your fruit bearer, your direction giver, you name it, why do we ignore that? Why do we ignore his instruction, his statements to us, his direction that he gives us? It doesn't make sense. It just doesn't make sense. Go back to John 16. In John 16, Jesus is going to go on. He's going to talk about what the Spirit does. And so in John 16 and verse 8, the next verse, this is what he says. He says, but when he comes, again, he's personifying the Spirit of God. He can do something and it can't. Amen? So he says, when he comes, this is what he's going to do. He's going to convict the world of guilt in regard to sin, righteousness, and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I am going to the Father where you can see me no longer. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world stands condemned already. In regard to sin, because men don't believe in me. That's exactly how we came to know Christ, right? I didn't know Christ. I was doing my own thing. I didn't want anything to do with God. And then somebody starts talking to me the word of truth. Somebody starts convincing me of the word of truth. And I start listening to the word of truth. And what happens? I get convicted of my sin. I never noticed my sin before. That was just my normal. I mean, if you don't like it, what do I care, right? You do your thing and I'll do my thing. That's kind of how I lived. Maybe I knew if I wasn't being moral, but that was the extent of where it went. But when the Holy Spirit came along, when Jesus began to speak to me and convince me through his truth, I had a decision to make. All of a sudden, I'm convicted of my sin. And when I responded to that sin and God saved me and placed his Holy Spirit in me, now every time I sin or try to sin or think about sinning, he won't leave me alone. Amen? That's a good thing, not a bad thing. It's not to condemn, it's to rescue. He convicts us in our sin. He convicts us that we didn't believe in something. I mean, I remember after I got saved, I thought, oh my gosh, I was going to hell. I had no idea. I was raised in the church. But I was raised in a very formal church where I'd never heard anything about Jesus or salvation. And all of a sudden, I hear the word of truth. And all of a sudden, I realized that if I didn't believe in Jesus, I would be lost forever. I was so angry with that church. He convicts us because we don't believe. He convicts us that we're trying to be the God of our own life. And then all of a sudden, that changes. He also convicts us of righteousness. Jesus says, righteous, because I'm going back to the Father. Well, the only one who can go back to the Father and be in the Father's presence is someone who's righteous. Right? And the Bible says, no one is righteous, no, not one. But there is one. Right? The Bible's not referring to Jesus. Jesus goes back. And then he now stands, and he is our advocate. Righteousness. I mean, when God looks down on creation, I mean, he's like, no one's righteous. And Jesus says, oh, hang on a second. Let's look at that again, Dad. Don't you see my blood? Don't you see where your spirit is inhabiting? Right? And he overlooks our sin only because it was already paid for on the cross. And then also he convicts us because of judgment. It's interesting, you know, because we've given the word of God, right? And the word of God tells us what Satan's final destination is. It also tells us the lost's final destination. He convicts us about judgment. Judgment's already come to the prince of this world. We see it in God's word. But judgment also comes to those who choose not to believe. So that's the Holy Spirit's job. The Holy Spirit's job is to convince us. He's a convincer. He's a convictor. He's a confirmer. Amen? Whether we belong to Christ or we don't. I love how God in his goodness will reveal that to us so that we still have a choice. We still have an option. And Jesus is saying, listen, you need me to go away. You need me to do this because I can do something for you that you can't even imagine. Lori and I flew to Orlando 2 years ago this summer. Our daughter got married. And when we got there, we had to rent a car. How many of you have one of these new cars that says all kinds of stuff or does all kinds of stuff? You know what I'm talking about? Like a blind spot, right? Lane deviation, you don't brake, it brakes for you, right? It's talking to you all the time. How many of you, like it took you a while to get used to that? Okay, so we were there for like 4 days, and that's not long enough. I'm ADD, right? So that's not long enough. And it was driving me nuts. I mean, I remember driving down the road. We were trying to find our hotel. We were driving down the road, and apparently I deviated. What's that? Right? Or there's someone in my blind spot. I put my signal on to go, and it's like, no. And I'm like, I know. I'm just putting my signal on, right? And when I get stressed out when I'm driving, my wife will tell you, bless her heart, my wife will tell you it's awful, isn't it, honey? It's not pretty, she said. When I'm driving somewhere I've never been before, something happens to me. It's not pretty. And you can't tell me anything. Matter of fact, don't even speak to me. I'm serious. Just she'll tell you. I mean, I've almost hit pedestrians. They shouldn't be in the road. I'm like, I've become a different person. Well, should a pedestrian be in the road? No, that's what I think, right? So when that's happening, like, I'm a nut job. And I get very angry very quickly. It's one of those moments where I don't normally get angry very quickly. It takes a lot to make me angry, but it upsets me. I'm like, just go home. Fine, I'm done. Right? I mean, that's just how I am. And I don't care how anybody feels about it. It's a flaw. Okay? This is just transparency here. And you know that you do something like this on another subject. But that's what I do. I freak out. So I'm driving in this car, and I didn't really freak out in the car, but it's constantly beeping or saying something to me. So, you know, the door, if it's open, ding, ding. You put the key in, ding, ding. Right? When you back up, beep, beep, beep. You get too close to something, beep, and now it's like lane deviation, you know, and all the blind spot, you know, slamming the brakes on if you're not looking at them because you're trying to GPS to figure out where you're going. I'm like, if I could just turn this off, I would be so much better. And probably became a worse driver because of it, because of my attitude. Not because of the features on the car, but because of my attitude, right? But I got to say, at the same time, I love GPS. Like, I don't know who invented Siri, but I am in love with her. My wife will tell you, it's like the best thing ever. It's like better than sliced bread. It's like Siri is wonderful because I am direction deficient. I have no sense of direction whatsoever. I grew up in Huntsville, Texas from age 2, and I moved here when I was 38, just for my 39th birthday. And I only lived in Conroe, for 2 years, I think, a year and a half. Other than that, I was in Huntsville the entire time. And we're talking about elementary, middle school, high school, college, work, yeah, whatever. I lived in Huntsville. There are two major streets in Huntsville, just like here in Bridge City. There's 73 and West Round Bunch Road, right? Those are the two major roads. In Huntsville, I don't understand this, but in Huntsville, there's There's Sam Houston Avenue, and there's University. Why would anyone do that to somebody? Because that's the name of the university, Sam Houston State University. So I can't keep it straight. Am I on Sam Houston or University? They both represent, you know, University is the one, I think, that goes by the school, right? And Sam is the, see, I don't even know what I'm talking about. But University, is 11th University? Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. So University and, I have to get it clear, because where they cross each other, right, those four corners, there's like, you know, the avenues, the numbered streets. Oh, gosh, if I get in those avenues and numbered streets, I don't know where to go right or left. I'm like, Laurie said, we just go into Sam Houston. I'm like, is that right or left? She's like, how long have you lived here? You're 38 years old. I'm like, I don't know. Just tell me, is it right or left? That's all. I just, Siri, help a brother out. And it blows her mind because, see, we can go to a town, pass through, don't even go, like, don't visit, don't stop, don't get a soda, nothing. Go through a town, you get to a red light, and then 10 years later, for whatever reason, you go through that town again that you've never been to, and she'll say, now, when you get up here, there'll be an Exxon on the right. And I'm, oh, the right. See? Just proved it to you. And I'm like, how do you know? I don't know, I just remember. I'm like, you made me sick. I can't do this, right? This is the story of my life. I couldn't find my way out of paperback. And it runs in my family. So that my family can't help me. Don't put us in the car together. My mother, she's ridiculous. I mean, she's worse. If I think she's ridiculous, you can imagine. You're like, my sister's saying, no sense of direction. Thank God. Do you see why I'm in love with Siri? I love Siri. Happy Valentine's, Siri. I love Siri. I do. Because I don't have to worry about anything. But you know what? Sometimes, if I'm real honest, even when Siri is on, I think I know better. Have you ever done that? Oh, she's taking me the long way. And so I go up, rerouting. I go up, rerouting. Turn right, rerouting. Shut up, right? And I'll turn her off. And I think I know better. And then what happens? You go the way that you think you should go, and the road's closed. Or there's a big accident. There's a detour. There's a diversion. It's not there anymore. Whatever the case may be. Because I didn't listen. Lori's always been my Siri until Siri came along. She's been replaced. She's like, yes, finally. You know what? And let me tell you something. The reason why she's clapping, let me tell you why she's clapping, since we're just on this side trip right now. The reason that she's clapping is because this is what used to happen. So we get in the car and we go where we're going, and I'd exit because I needed gas or we wanted a soda or something like that, Starbucks. We get off and we go, and then we go to get back on the highway, and I'd go, is it right or left? And she's like, we just exited. And I would say, but I don't know, it's right or left. She goes, it's right. I said, I think it's left. And we would get in an argument, wouldn't we? We had an argument. Back and forth, but I'm telling you it's right. Well, after a period of time, she finally just said, I'm going to tell you one time. So she said, it's right. And I said, are you sure? Because I think it's left. Whatever you want to do. I'm behind you, 100%. 9 times out of 10, I'd go left. Because I knew it was left. It made sense to me. It was left. I mean, if I turned right to get there, why am I going to turn left when I get back? But no, you got to keep going that direction if that's where you're going. And she wouldn't say a word. I'd go down, and sure enough, I go, oh, I passed that again. And I just, very quietly, she'd never say a word. She's very gracious. I mean, she's probably screaming on the inside. But very gracious. And I finally figured out, listen to your wife. Right? Which she's been trying to teach me for 38 years. Listen to your wife. I'm working on it, I think. I'm working on it. Thank God for GPS. But here's the reality. We do the same thing with the Holy Spirit, don't we? I mean, the Holy Spirit tells us something. I got it. You don't know what you're talking about. I've done this 10 times before. I've never gotten in trouble. Okay. It's a blind spot, but okay. You're detouring, but okay. You don't want me to beep at you? I won't beep at you. And then we come running and crying, right? And we wonder why we're not growing. We wonder why I'm not better than I was this time last year. Why my attitude is the same. Why the same things I'm reacting to the same way. Freaking out over non-eternal issues, amen? That's what we freak out over. We don't freak out over eternal issues. We freak out over non-eternal issues. While the eternal God is living inside of us and screaming at us on the inside, right? But the gentleman God, like, I told you, You know, I mean, he'll hold your hand for a while, right? How many of you remember your brand new Christians? Like, God just did everything for you, right? I mean, you'd read a verse, and if, lo and behold, the pastor preached on the same thing at church. I can't believe it, right? That's God holding your hand. But after a while, he says, you know what? I have some expectations of you. I mean, I've given you the gift of my Holy Spirit. So I'm going to tell you, and after that, do whatever you want to do. Because I'm trying to grow. It's for your good that I'm doing this. It's not to harm you. Now, you're going to get hurt along the way, but it'll end up being better for you. At what point? Listen, we've turned left how many times, right? How many times have we turned left? And it's like we just won't turn right. Is it pride? Is it control? I don't know what it is. But what if, are you ready for this one? What if just this year we turned right? I mean, we've seen what left has done. It's backtracked us. It's gotten us in an accident. It's taken us on a detour. We're not growing, we're receding. And we find that when we do that, our love starts growing cold. So let's turn right and just see what happens. I mean, what's the worst thing that can happen? What happened when you turn left? I mean, you've already experienced that. Why not turn right? I mean, Jesus said, I'll never forsake you or leave you, right? Turn right. No, you can't see, but I see the blind spot. No, you're distracted, but I see if you're weaving. I'll beep at you, right? And when I do that, that gives you the opportunity for the teacher, the counselor, the comforter, the gift giver, just fill in the blank to lead you down a road you've never been down before because you haven't been brave enough. What's the worst thing that can happen? I mean, God's promises are true. Now, it may not turn out the way that you think it should turn out, but, you know, that's on you. When are you going to learn to quit doing that? When are you going to learn to quit having expectations? And I don't mean negative fun. I won't have any expectations anymore. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about maybe we should call it anticipation. Maybe we should call it excitement. I'm going to turn right. I'm so excited to see what God's going to do. And I already know it's not going to look that way, right? Amen? Amen? We know it's not going to look the way we think it's going to look, and it's not going to happen in the time, and it's not going to be answered the same way. But what if I turn right, and he shows me something about myself that finally gets fixed? What if I turn right, and God uses me in a way that I never, ever have been used before, and I see the benefits of that because they're eternal, and the worldly stuff doesn't matter anymore? What if? I dare you. How many? Anybody wired like me? Well, you dare me? Well, fine. I just dig in my heels and say, I'll show you. Is anybody like that besides me? Larry Beal, you just raise your hand. We all know you. Right? Heel digger. What if? What if? I'm going to turn right. Nobody's going to tell me I can't turn right. I'm going to turn right. Oh, you think you can challenge me? I'll show you. What if? I mean, get an attitude about it. Right? And turn right. Because God doesn't waste himself. And he gives you his Holy Spirit, which is himself. And he doesn't give it to you to be wasted. He gives it to you to be used to bring him glory to the kingdom of God for the eternal stuff that matters. That's what he gives it for. Amen? That should excite you because let me promise you right now, you will go places you've never been. I'm going to tell you right up front. Your comfortable life will no longer be comfortable in the way you think it is. It's not going to happen. I'll just tell you up front so that you will know. Amen? Turn right. The next time the Spirit speaks to you, I dare you to do it. I dare you to do it. Amen? Will you do it? Will you commit? The next time. You know what's going to happen today probably. Don't say that to your wife. It's Valentine's Day. Don't be rude to the waitress. Share your testimony. Whatever it is, I dare you. I dare you to do it. I dare you to do it for a week. Till next Sunday. I just dare you. I dare you to fill out this card, you other 50 people. I dare you. I don't think you can do it. Right? Child psychology. I dare you. Because if you don't, you're going to be the same next year. And then you're going to be frustrated and disappointed, and Satan's going to have you right where he wants you. So for no other reason, turn right. Father, God, when I think about your Spirit, I think about the times, time after time after time after time, dozens, hundreds, thousands of times, God, that you have spoken to me. I'm convicted in my heart. I know what to do. I don't need you to show up and stand next to me because you're telling me. I think about all those times that you have done that. And God, I also follow that up with thinking about how many times did I get nervous? Was I afraid? Did I think I got this on my own and I didn't do it? And God, I will never know what I missed. But the scary part, God, is that what I missed might change my future, might change the relationships around me, might lead to someone's salvation. And for me to even think for a moment that I know better than you, you've already told us in your word, following you is not popular, but there are rewards that are just exceedingly good. So help us, Father. Help us to be who you want us to be, to do what you want us to do, to go where you ask us to go. Help us to follow your Spirit this week in particular, Father. Scream at us this week, Father, just so that we can experience you, because it makes the next step easier, and it's for your glory. So I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand?